Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Stephen Parks on why your congregation should join the Issues Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc., the Issues Etc. 300.
It was the discussion in terms of the real differences between the two, and that civil unions don't cover all of the issues that marriage cover under the state guarantee of equal protection.
That is none other than Maine Governor John Baldacci on what persuaded him to change his opposition to same-sex marriage. Governor Baldacci signed a same-sex marriage bill into law earlier today in the state of Maine, and that comes on the heels, of course, on the announcement yesterday that Washington, D.C. will also have gay marriage, Iowa, Vermont, and the list goes on, and it is growing almost exponentially day by day. What is going on? And is there anything anyone can do to stop the advance of gay marriage in the United States? Joining us to talk about these recent developments on the gay marriage front, Peter Sprague. He's vice president of policy for the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. Peter, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thanks for having me.
Do any of these advances of gay marriage in the various states that we've heard about in the last 6 months, 2 years, 3 years, do any of them really surprise you?
Well, I'm a little surprised at the speed with which things have advanced this year in New England. But what happened earlier this year, we heard some of the homosexual activist groups announced what they called their 6x12 plan, which what the 6x12 means is that they wanted to win the legalization of same-sex marriage in all six New England states by the year 2012. Now, it had already been legalized in Massachusetts and Connecticut by actions of the state Supreme Courts of those states. And so they're trying to win four more states. And they succeeded in Vermont, where the legislature passed it, the governor vetoed it, and the legislature overrode his veto. And now they've succeeded in Maine, where the governor caved, the governor who said he was against same-sex marriage, caved in to the pressure and signed the bill. And they are close to final action in New Hampshire, where we are still encouraging the governor to veto the bill, but are unsure of whether he will hold firm or whether he will cave in, as Baldacci did in Maine. They have poured, I think what's happened is they've poured their resources, both financial resources and human resources in terms of volunteers and paid workers. They have poured everything they had into New England this year, and they've borne fruit from that. So I think that's the most significant thing. We don't really see it spreading across the country, apart from here in the Northeast. There are efforts underway also in New York and New Jersey to legalize same-sex marriage, and in the District of Columbia, which voted to not to actually legalize same-sex marriage in the district, but to recognize same-sex marriages from elsewhere. So they're beginning with the Northeast, and they're finding a lot of success there.
Okay, we've only got about a minute here before we take a break, and we'll pick up on the other side. But I'm wondering, Peter, whether or not it really matters how they get these. I mean, I think they'd like legislative victories or governors signing bills, but Iowa seems to indicate that if they can get it by judicial fiat, that's just as good. Am I wrong?
Well, they at first they pursued the courts because it was the only way they could get it. There wasn't any state in the country where they could have won same-sex marriage through any kind of democratic process. Now, I still don't believe there's a state where they could win it through a direct vote of the people. But you know, that may remain to be seen. In Maine, we're hopeful there will be a people's veto referendum, which will have a chance to overturn this law that was just passed. But it does make a symbolic difference in that, it's one thing if you can say, it's just these liberal activist judges who are imposing this social engineering upon us. But it's a little bit more of a coup for them to be able to claim that that they're actually able to do it through the democratic process. Of course, the latter would never have happened if the judicial activism hadn't paved the way.
All right, we're going to talk a little bit more with Peter Sprague of the Family Research Council about same-sex marriage victories in Maine today, yesterday in Washington, D.C. When we come back, the full faith and credit clause of the Constitution might be key in some of those future victories, if there are more. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon, May the 6th. We're talking about gay marriage. We'll be right back.
The next generation of pastors is more worried about driver's ed and the prom than whether or not they are being called to serve the people of God. Christ Academy is where that all changes. For 2 weeks, high school guys worship, study, and play together, and explore their future calling. It's 2 weeks that set a course toward being formed as a servant in Jesus Christ. Christ Academy, June 14 to 27. Registration is open. Call 1-800-481-2155 or visit ctsfw.edu/Christ Academy.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Dwayne Jansen, Dr. Rebecca Fisher, Greg Rowland, Michael Taylor, Pastor Jim Lewis, Larry Abbey, Jeff Schramm, Laura Goodman, Marcy Cameron, and Brandy Benton. Thanks for your support.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We're going to launch an online version of the Issues Etc. Journal on June the 1st, and you can subscribe by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. Do Christians make progress in their good works? I've written an article for the new online journal titled Sheep Don't Keep Track. You'll also find an article detailing Pastor George Borghardt's journey from Catholicism to Lutheranism. Get your copy of the Issues Etc. Journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes left in this hour on this Wednesday afternoon, the 6th of May, talking same-sex marriage victories in May and in Washington, D.C., as well as some other places. Peter Sprague, Vice President of Policy for the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C., is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, or you can email us talkback@issuesetc.org. Peter, I've wondered for a long time about the full faith and credit clause of the U.S. Constitution that would, in ordinary circumstances with heterosexual marriage, simply make a marriage in one state valid in all states. And that's good common sense, but it seems to be a bit of a problem, especially if they're going to try a judicial route for gay marriage in various states, with the issue of same-sex marriage.
Well, right. This is the... the concern that was raised in the 1990s when the first court anywhere ruled in favor of same-sex marriage, that was in Hawaii, the fear was that if one state legalized same-sex marriage, then same-sex couples from anywhere in the country could go to that state, get married, and then demand recognition of their marriages in all 50 states of the union. And in effect, one state, by changing its policy, could impose same-sex marriage on the entire nation. So in response to that, the federal government, the Congress, passed by overwhelming bipartisan majorities, and President Bill Clinton signed into law in 1996 the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. And what that law does is it defines marriage for all purposes under federal law as the union of one man and one woman. And the second part of it, it says that states do not have to recognize the same-sex marriages that are contracted in other states. And some of the homosexual activists argue that conflicts with the full faith and credit clause of the Constitution, which says, I pulled it out since you said we were going to talk about full faith and credit shall be given in each state to the public acts, records, and judicial proceedings of every other state. But then the Congress passed that law pursuant to the power given in the second clause of Article 4, Section 1 of the Constitution, where it says, "And the Congress may by general laws prescribe the manner in which such acts, records, and proceedings shall be proved and the effect thereof." So Congress was exercising its power to essentially say that in this area of same-sex marriage, states do not have to recognize what other states do if it's contrary to their public policy. And that's what led to the flood of state defense of marriage acts declaring that, in fact, this is contrary to the strong public policy of our state.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say now, so one issue that's been raised, there are a couple of questions. First of all, President Obama has said he would like to repeal the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. But there has also been a question raised about whether there could be a court challenge. Now, up until now, it has withstood challenge, but it has never been acted upon by the U.S. Supreme Court. The homosexual legal activists are actually divided. Some of them believe that the federal DOMA is unconstitutional, and others believe that it probably would withstand judicial scrutiny and shouldn't be attacked. So there are different viewpoints.
What if it is repealed? What happens then, as far as we can tell?
Well, if it were to be repealed, then you would have – you would likely have a flood of litigation across the country by same-sex couples who were legally married in one of these handful of states where they can do that, and then would demand recognition and would argue that the full faith and credit clause requires that every state recognize their marriages. It would be really a nightmare for the courts if that were to happen.
What role does a possible, perhaps not possible, federal amendment to the Constitution with regard to marriage, what role does that play in all of this, Peter?
Well, that would be the ideal solution to resolve this issue once and for all by writing the definition of marriage into the U.S. Constitution and making that the consistent standard throughout the country. We certainly have supported a marriage protection amendment to the U.S. Constitution, continue to support that, but the political reality is that with a Democratic Congress, we were not able to get it passed even when the Republicans controlled Congress. With a Democratic Congress, there's really no chance of getting that passed.
What if it's perhaps at some future date we were able to muster enough support for a constitutional amendment to that effect? What would it do to the quote unquote marriages already on the books in the various states that have legalized same-sex marriage?
Well, in effect, it would mean that those would be recognized in every state. And so even if Oklahoma doesn't choose to legalize same-sex marriage. Any of the same-sex couples from Oklahoma who wanted to get legally married could go to a state that does, and when they returned to Oklahoma, the state of Oklahoma would have no choice but to recognize those marriages. So really, as I said, you would be allowing some of these most liberal states to essentially impose their liberal social engineering upon the rest of the country.
You talked about the 6x12 plan. First of all, just give us a tally. How far are they in reaching it, and do you think they will?
Well, they reached it in Massachusetts first, of course, in where the court ruled in 2003 that in favor of same-sex marriage, and that took effect in 2004. The legislature was unwilling to allow, the legislature prevented a constitutional amendment from going to the ballot there. Then it's legal in Connecticut, where, again, the court did it in just last year in 2008, in October, I believe, of 2008. It's been legalized in Vermont, which is, although I'm not sure whether it's actually taken effect yet. I would have to double-check that. So I don't know if same-sex couples are actually marrying yet, but the law has been passed. It's been passed and signed into law in Maine. I'm not sure when that will take effect. As I said, it's a little easier to get a referendum question on the ballot, so we're hopeful that the voters will have a chance to overturn it in Maine. And in New Hampshire there, the two houses have to vote on the same version of the bill, and then it will go to the governor, who may or may not veto it. So Rhode Island is the only state in New England that has not had its legislature vote in favor, had either a court or a legislature act in favor of same-sex marriage thus far.
What if a state were to say, look, the District of Columbia this week got it right. What they've done is essentially said, we're willing to recognize these things, but we're not going to have gay marriages performed legally here.
Well, that's in a sense what has happened also just this year in New York State. Governor David Patterson basically imposed that kind of policy and said, we're going to start recognizing these unions from other states right away. Now, he's also supporting legislation which would legalize it in New York. There was some talk of court action to challenge Governor Patterson's action because we don't believe he really had any legal authority to recognize marriages that are not, you know, that are of a type that is not legal to contract in New York. And so, but I'm not sure that those legal challenges have really made any progress.
Two final questions here. Do you think that the recent victories by the advocates of gay marriage in unlikely places and likely places in the United States may provide some political cover for the Supreme Court of California to decide in favor of gay marriage there as it considers that decision after that long drawn out battle over Prop 8?
Well, having watched part of the oral arguments you were, on the case in which people are trying to overturn Proposition 8, the state constitutional amendment there. I would be surprised, even though this is the same court which a year ago ruled in favor of same-sex marriage, I would be surprised if they overturned Proposition 8, because even some of the justices who were very who voted in favor of same-sex marriage in their initial decision, they were very skeptical of the idea that they had any right or power to overturn a duly adopted constitutional amendment. The legal arguments used in favor of that position were a real stretch. And so
about 10 seconds here.
I'm reasonably optimistic that Proposition 8 will stand.
Peter Sprague is Vice President of Policy for the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. Go to issuesetc.org, click on demand, and look for a link to the website for the Family Research Council. Peter, thank you for being our guest.
Okay, thank you.
Well, in the next hour of the program, we're going to spend some time with Pam Fichter of Missouri Right to Life. This is a bit confusing. You may have seen in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch today an op-ed piece. Bills to, quote-unquote, protect women who seek abortions ignore the needs of women going to term. All right. Seems like you can't try and get any kind of protection for women or their unborn children without someone objecting in Missouri. We'll find out with Pam Fichter what that's all about. Then we'll talk about King James only and modern Bible translations with James White. Hour two of Issues, Etc. is next. I'm Todd Wilkin.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.